So I'd like to introduce a little simple kind of, well, I was going to say standing exercise. You can take it as a standing exercise in the sense that I'd like to introduce a few things. Some of you know, I always do the same. Few aspects from standing meditation from the Qigong tradition. That Qigong also is the Chinese word for exercise, so it's also about energy. And it moves quite a bit of energy. So it's part of quite an energetic energy routine, which I do every day, more or less. But it's basically also just to introduce that third formal meditation posture, standing, which is a very good adjunct and alternative to sitting as well. Same applies like with walking meditation. It gives a bit of a change, and we learn from contrast. So we're not always doing and exercising the same tricks in the same kind of format. So that kind of variation, again, experiencing the body and through the body, actually the mind in a different kind of mode. And also specifically, of course, standing is a bit more, it is in itself, but that's part of a Qigong exercise or not. It is more energizing. It does raise more energy and also demands more energy. It is obviously more difficult to fall asleep when you're standing. It is possible. I have witnessed it. Some of you might as well. I sometimes mentioned this this episode when I was in Scotland, in Edinburgh, and I was in a kind of an art gallery, a museum, kind of museum type art gallery, and I was watching some paintings, and it had a staircase that went going down, and I heard somebody snoring. And I wondered, who's snoring? What is that? And then when I went to the staircase, I saw the classical, museum guard. he was doing a Mr. Bean. Some of you might have seen Mr. Bean. What's his name? The British comedian. Forgot his name right now. Rowan Atkinson, isn't it, or something like that. Where he does a museum guard, I think, and he's kind of falling asleep on a chair, and he's kind of sliding down the chair, like I was almost hitting the floor with his nose while he's still sitting with his, bum on the chair, technically sitting. This guard, he was standing by the in the stairway, and was, I think he was, I don't remember exactly now, he was slightly leaning on something, but he was snoring. He was definitely asleep. But if you're less lucky or experienced, then of course it tends to be painful to fall asleep when you're standing. But it's also a bit less likely to happen. So it is, of course, a posture that we can particularly, and I do actually use, like when we are, we're making a special effort. Effort also fits in the scene with energy. Meditating maybe a lot, like on a retreat, but we are getting very tired. The mind becomes very, maybe sometimes, as it does, gets sluggish and resistant, doesn't want to be, present. If really like one of those things, if nothing works, your meditation techniques, well, just stand up and stand. It brings, already the change is refreshing, but also it brings up a bit more energy. I sometimes do that like on the, when we do our midnight sittings here. We don't do anymore those heroic kind of Ajahn Chah style all night sittings, which our tradition is known for. But we do on moon days, where we practice until midnight, and I usually have a very, usually I tend to struggle in the hour just before midnight. It's like, once it's a certain time past my normal bedtime, it's like all the systems start to protest and say, hey, what's going on? This is not right. We should be sleeping now. And so after 11 o'clock, I find it usually, there are exceptions, but usually I find it difficult actually to sit and maintain any kind of amount of reasonable wakefulness. So I usually spend that last hour, half an hour, whatever, before midnight standing meditation. It works much better. You can actually, it keeps you reasonably awake. And so, I mean, that's what meditation is for, isn't it? And there's also a patient endurance, which is a laudable quality, but ideally we want to actually use that space to be able to contemplate, isn't it? In some way, we want to be present. At least, so that we know what's going on. So standing up can be a useful tool in our toolkit. And so why don't we just try? Most people find it, at the beginning, find it difficult to stand more than 15 minutes. So Sometimes people like to start standing and then you just accumulate some kind of energy and then takes it into the sitting. You can just continue standing for the whole session, you know, until we finish, if it works for you. Or you can sit down at any time and you find you're getting tired, and then we finish that off as a sitting. So standing is just basically, really, I mean, the same exercise as sitting, just standing up. You know, our basic postures, you can stand any which way you like. In theory, you can even stand on your head, like yogis do, you know. Don't do that now, don't try now, but that's even more energizing. And we bring the attention to the body, breathing for a start. And that's it, you do the same thing as with the sitting, so fairly simple. But as I said, I just wanted to give a few suggestions from a Chinese exercise routine called in English standing like a tree, so it's Qigong, in which standing is actually a foundational posture for that. So just standing like that. So to get maximum benefit from that, you want to stand with your feet shoulder width apart. Also, you open your stance a little, and the toes, you know, are looking towards the front. And same as with the sitting posture, you know, just start by noticing the contact with the floor, with the surface that's supporting your body. Now notice your pressure on the soles of your feet. Notice where the weight is of the body. If you move a little bit forwards and backwards, then we notice, you know, if you go backwards, you feel the pressure in the heels. If you go forwards, you notice the toes, you know, grabbing into the floor, trying to hold you steady. So we try to find the way in which we sense the weight of the body going straight through the middle of the feet. So well balanced. Second point of the posture are the knees. So the Chinese recommend not to have the knees locked, so have them a little bit flexed. Of course, in terms of an physical exercise, of course, the lower you go down, always with the knees above your feet, then never go in front of the toes. You'll notice, of course, the further you go down, the more energy you raise, isn't it? Then you notice this is actually a very powerful exercise. In the old days, when I was young, we did this in Kung Fu. If you do that in Kung Fu, they have to sit really down low here, you know, so that really works your muscles, so you get really powerful legs. No? So, but here we just do meditation, so we just flex the knees a little bit. The idea being that the energy flows better through joints that are open. Also, from what I heard, what I understand, this is actually protecting your joints. Because if you have your knees flexed a little, you do, even if they flex just a little, you notice that your thigh muscles, you know, they tighten. So there's work in this, so they do the work, and that's what they are for. Well, these thigh muscles are the biggest, strongest muscles, I think, in the body. And that means by those muscles taking the weight of the body, that protects actually your knees. You know, you're using your muscles and the ligaments rather than having the weight of your body going straight into the bones and cartilage and whatnot. So the feet, weight well balanced, the knees slightly flexed. And then the most subtle thing, maybe again, is the hip. Remember, we had this thing with the movement of the hip in the sitting posture. You can do the same thing. Though with the standing, it's the opposite from the sitting. You notice, like if you're sitting, you have a bad posture, means you're slumped. No, so your back is at concave or convex. That's convex, isn't it? It comes out. No, so you slump, and then you press down on your lungs. You don't breathe properly. And so therefore we pull in the lower back a bit more. One of my teachers, he uses like the image of a belt. Imagine you're having a belt around your belly and somebody's gently pulling you forward so that your belly comes out, your lower back comes in. If you're standing and you have bad posture, I think usually we do the opposite. We don't tend to slump like this. We make a hollow in the lower back, so it gets concave. So this natural curve in the spine gets exaggerated when the belly comes out like this posture. And that's not healthy at all. It puts strain on the spine and on the joints again. So here, with the movement of the hip, we have to do the opposite. We don't pull the lower back in and the belly out. We pull the belly in a bit, the back to straighten to get a straight lower back. You have to tilt the hip backwards a bit. Well, the idea is, imagine you're sitting down on a big bag of potatoes or rice, if you're tired. Oh, big bag of rice. You're sitting down on the rice, but you're not lowering your whole body. You're just lowering your buttocks. You know, the nose stays at the same height. It means you're pulling the hips backwards. And so you're lengthening the spine here at the bottom a bit. This comes down, you can see that? And so it straightens the back. The same, like this is the thread pulling up from the top of the head, lengthening the neck. Here, it's like a string pulling us down, lengthening the spine here at the bottom. Okay, so soles of the feet, knees flexed, and sitting down slightly like on a big bag of rice or potatoes, having a straight lower back, so the belly comes in a bit. Okay, so this is actually, those are the main aspects of the posture. Then the rest again should be able to build up naturally. Again, if our spine is straight and as straight as it should be, of course it is not entirely straight, then our upper back, our torso should build up naturally, rest balanced on it. So again, we can relax the shoulders, flex the arms. Imagine you've been carrying 2 10-liter buckets of water. Also, your arms really, shoulders really come down. Usually there's a little bit more on the shoulders that can let go. The head naturally balanced on top of the shoulder, neck free, space on the neck. Relaxing the jaw. And here again, the same thing, like with the sitting, we are served by the image of the string pulling us up from the top of the head, or the image of the head floating upwards like a balloon. So giving a slight stretch to the neck, the chin coming down a little. So you see, you've got the same principle, same as in yoga, that the spine gets a little bit stretched. The natural curves of the spine stay there, but they don't get exaggerated as we sometimes do with bad posture. They get lessened a little bit. It's a slight pull upwards, the upwards pull, and the pull downwards, from our bottom. So again, imagine that you create some extra space between the vertebrae and your spine. And there you are. And there you are, bringing your attention to the body. Body breathing. And you might just find yourself just moving your attention around through the body. If you're not that much used to standing, or just keeping kind of rechecking those cardinal points of the posture and readjusting, because we are likely to lose the posture, going back into bad posture. And that's going to create tensions. So just that, can keep your mind busy in the body. Check for the breath, your natural breath. If the belly gets pulled in a bit, again, there can be a habitual tendency that we tense the belly. So make sure you keep relaxing the belly, breathing naturally.
And you can stand like this for a long time when you get used to it. Here in some monasteries in Thailand, they do sometimes sessions of 3-hour standing meditations, right? It's something to build up to. It's a lot of energy. You might feel the energy in the body from this. It does actually move energy around. And to make it interesting and to facilitate the flow of energy, I'd just like to introduce a couple of things more for you to play with if you like. So one is, you can imagine that you hold a big kind of a beach ball with your hands. You can have it either in front of your belly or in front of your chest. Belly is a bit more relaxed. Chest is a bit more energetic. I'll just keep it down here. And you imagine that your hands, your fingers are resting on this belly. Belly, not this ball, this beach ball. This is a really, really big belly. So rest your hands on there. So the trick is, you really, with this imagining that you're holding this board, you're slightly pressing to the body, you imagine there's no effort at all involved in holding your hands up like this. If you think this is getting difficult, you're just imagining it. It's an illusion, because you're holding this ball of energy, right? And again, the joints are all rounded, the elbow joints, the wrists, the fingers, fingertips look at each other. And so if you're standing like this, knees slightly flexed, your thighs doing some work, you will notice that energy is mounting in the body. You feel energy. You might feel it accumulating in the hands. The hands starting to get warm, feeling a bit funny. You might feel tingling in there. And then a little exercise to bring the mind, the body, the breath together. And you can imagine that you're breathing in through the soles of your feet. You're breathing upwards into the belly. So you move your attention through your body. It's the rhythm of the breath. And then you imagine that you're breathing out through the arms and the hands. With the next in-breath, you start with your fingers, your hands, breathing in with the hands, through the arms, into the chest, solar plexus. And you're breathing out through your legs and your feet into the ground. Next in-breath, you start with the feet. And so you're moving back and forth, moving your attention through the body, you know, the rhythm of the breath. And you can imagine that you're moving kind of breath energy through the body like that. Well, use that to stay in touch with your body, checking for any tensions, relaxing tensions that you notice if you can. And just keep going like this. You can keep your hands in front of you. You can also lower them down and leave them at the side. You can keep playing the set. Breath sweeping through the body. You can also move to different parts. You can include the head if you want. Breathing in through the head, into the body. It's just playing around with these elements a bit to keep the mind engaged. Engaged with the body, with the breath. But if you do find this difficult, if you get tired, please feel free to sit down mindfully and just continue as a sitting meditation. I'm just going to stand for another 5 or 10 minutes. You know, if you start to get very warm, if you start to sweat, or if your legs start to slightly tremble or something like that, that's normal. Particularly if you're not used to this, it just shows how much energy is actually mobilized by this exercise. The body's really doing work. So it's actually quite healthy. So. It works all the postural muscles in the body. And just try not to be stiff, of course, particularly keeping the knees flexed. But also if the body wants to do kind of little kind of micro movements, adjusting, just allow that to happen. It's also a way of the body to manage all the energy and not to stiffen up.